Support for this KQED podcast comes from Bay Meadows, an urban village in San Mateo. Fitness and movies in the park, Caltrain, artisan eateries, fun for the kids, all just a hop from your front door. Homes now selling and leasing, baymeadows.com.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. When prima ballerina Alicia Alonso had the chance to choreograph the legendary ballet Giselle, and you're hearing some music from that, she gave it a Cuban spin to celebrate her own heritage, and the result, dubbed the Giselle Project, will be performed for the first time on U.S. soil by the Silicon Valley Ballet later this month. In this Forum segment, we're going to talk to the company's artistic director, Jose Manuel Carreño, and board chair, Millicent Powers, about the innovative performance, crossing cultural divides, and how the group is moving forward after near bankruptcy. So let me welcome officially our two guests, Jose Manuel Carreño, who is artistic director of the Silicon Valley Ballet. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you here, and good to have Millicent Powers, first name that I favor, co-chair, as a literary guy, co-chair of the board and executive director of the Silicon Valley Ballet. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you both here. And Jose, let me begin with you. This is, in part, we'll talk, of course, about the ballet itself and about the ballet group. This is celebrating, really, the opening of relations between Cuba and the United States?
That's, that's a tremendous coincidence that I'm actually doing this production from Cuba when everything is happening right now. So I think it's something that I've been working like in a year.
Yeah, it was being built at least as celebration of that.
But right now I think it was meant to be.
The timing was destiny or something along those lines, yeah. This is, and as we said, the first time it's been staged here in the United States, and you're going to be performing in it as well.
Yes, I am. I'm going to be doing, I did this many times, but I did the role of the prince. This time I'm going to be the Hilarion.
Well, we should say something about this. It's a love story, and it's performed all over the world. It also is about a young woman who falls in love with a man who is betrothed, and, she dies of a broken heart. I don't want to give too much of the plot away, but then supernatural spirits appear to try to seek revenge for her, and I will let it go at that. It's Alicia Alonso, prima ballerina, also plays a central role in your bringing it here and having it on American soil, yeah?
Yes, she does.
Talk about her. And she was the prima ballerina. I was actually at the Nacional Ballet when I was in Havana, and I thought it was a remarkable ballet group. But she's like the queen in many ways, isn't she?
Yes, she is. I mean, this is it's a huge tradition of ballet in Cuba. And, I mean, she created this company, I will say, I don't know, 70 years ago, something like that. And everybody knows about Alicia Alonso. I mean, not only in Cuba everywhere, but in the world. And for me to have the opportunity to be, to bring this one of her production here and have an American company performing, it's really something very, very, very special.
Again, Jose Manuel Carreño is artistic director of the Silicon Valley Ballet. They will be performing, by the way, Giselle, at the Center for the Performing Arts at San Jose on the 16th of October at 8 p.m. and on the 17th at 1:30 and 8 p.m. and on the 18th at 1:30. And they'll hold an open rehearsal viewing tomorrow at Silicon Valley Ballet from 4:30 to 6. Reservations are required. Let's talk to Millicent Powers, co-chair of the board and executive director of the Silicon Valley Ballet, which has been renamed, we should mention, first of all, right?
Yes, it has.
Well, what I said before we had you both enter into the studio here was there's been some, shall we say, negative talk about how the South Bay, and particularly San Jose, can't support the arts. But you managed somehow to that it's more concerned with tech than it is the arts, is how this argument goes. But you've raised now enough to avoid a shutdown and are in the process of raising more to keep this ballet 2.0 alive.
That's right. That's right. We found that telling our story in a way that makes sense to the contemporary tech community. We have a lot of young people who've joined our board, a number of young people who are involved in tech, and they're really doing it because they believe in what we're doing. So that's been tremendously exciting and important for us, and it was an important part of turning the company around.
I guess the reason this reputation has been extant for so long is the loss of San Jose Rep and also the Shakespeare Santa Cruz group folding its tent back in 2013. I mean, there's been this history. So people say, well, it's an industry town. It's not really an arts town.
I think that that's not how I characterize it at all. I've been involved in the arts virtually my whole life. My father was a writer, so I grew up in an arts family. And so I feel that, you know, Bay Area is, in general, is very, very rich. Now, the changes in Silicon Valley have been mind-boggling, just the move from one technology to another, which is going faster and faster. That's been a challenge for all sorts of groups and all sorts of companies. So in that, the arts aren't alone. The other thing, I think, is in the United States, in many, many markets, people are having to reinvent their cultural institutions to reflect this exciting new time we're in.
Well, you're doing that. You're going to do tech mating with dance here.
That's right. We actually have something, a program in March called Bodies of Technology, specifically to explore what we call the digital human interface. Everybody wants to celebrate their humanity, but how do we do that in an age that is mind-bogglingly interesting and creative? And that's what that conversation's about.
And you still need to raise a lot of money by October, as I understand it, like maybe a few million dollars?
Actually, we set the goal of $3.5 million, and we're very close to $2.5 million. I haven't seen today's numbers. And we have a number of initiatives that we've launched. Really, we do three things. We put beautiful art on stage. We have almost 400 kids and families in our school. And then we have a people business. And that's where I put fundraising. It's bringing people together and having them have the opportunities that we have to participate. And that's what's exciting about the support we get. It's really a community. And so I'm confident we'll get there with a lot of help and support that we have been getting this year.
Again, Millicent Powers is the co-chair of the board of directors and executive director of the Silicon Valley Ballet. Their CEO, Alan Heinlein, resigned recently, only a year at the position. What's the story there?
That's a simple story. Alan was from the East Coast. He came and we did good work as a team. We put a lot of processes and productions in place. It's been a turnaround. There's no doubt about it. We broke even last year and we're on track to break even this year. So the good work that he did as part of the team stands. He made a personal decision to go ahead and go back to his home on the East Coast. And we miss him and wish him well. But we loved having him here.
I'm going to invite listeners to join us. And by the way, if you have some thoughts, not only about the ballet and its what's up ahead, which we just alluded to, that is marriage between tech and ballet, tech and dance, which is coming up. But also, if you're interested in this in Giselle, if you know anything about it or like to know more about it, it's going to be performed by the Silicon Valley Ballet. And you may also want to weigh in on just this question of how much does the South Bay really attract art support and how much is it a tech town as opposed to, I hate to make this bifurcation, but this is certainly the kind of reputation that one hears often. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. Again, please feel free to join the program. 866-733-6786. There are a number of other ways to join the program. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And speaking of the website, when you come on this program, things often will take a political turn. And here's a question from a listener named Kurt. Jose, Millicent, either one of you, feel free. But they say, why doesn't the U.S. host more Cuban ballet troupes, baseball teams, and jazz bands now that relations have been eased? Answer, because the artists will defect. Despite Obama's efforts, the Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966 is still on the books. It continues to drain talent from Cuba to the detriment of that noble nation. What's to be done to really reestablish relations? Your comments would be appreciated. Jose, we go to you on that.
I mean, there's definitely... Cuban is a very talented island, either in sport or arts. And I think hopefully this will get into the change that everybody's been waiting for.
You're hopeful and optimistic
about
the future.
Yes, very optimistic
right?
about it.
But there's still always, you know, when I was in Cuba, a lot of people were kind of talking a little bit, you know, boy, I'd love to live in Florida or in the United States. And I mean, they were actually pretty candid, surprisingly so, given the Castro reputation of the Castro government for being so repressive. But can we draw more people and more Cuban
participation? I think it would be nice to have that freedom. people that choice. You know, people have, you can choose to stay or to go. And I think it's time for that change, you know.
And speaking of changes, Millicent, could I get you maybe to opine on how do you attract a younger audience to ballet? Ballet is one of the high arts, you know, one of the fine arts often associated in many people's minds with a different demographic.
That's a good question. In fact, all over the world, from China to Belgium to Buenos Aires, there's a lot of activity at a very young level. Competitions, kids traveling the world to dance. And it's a little bit under the radar, that young energy. There have been some movies recently. But specifically to attract a young audience, what we're talking about is, hey, this is not something where you go and you sit. And that's the thing about the Giselle Project, that, and I'm really looking forward to being around the thousands of people who will be in the theater on October 16th, because they know that by experiencing history, and that's really, I think, the last question was, how do we predict history? We can't predict history, but it's so much fun to have a front row seat. And that kind of excitement, that's very different than your grandmother's ballet where you went and you were polite and you didn't say anything. We have so many events going on. That's what we call the Giselle Project. We have a street food festival. We had a salsa class. It's about the family experience, not just the families that come to the theater, but all of us, you know, who get to experience, have a front row seat, a little bit of history. See what happens.
Well, why Giselle? Jose?
Well, you know, I'm originally from Cuba.
Entiendo. But entiendo. Why this particular
Muy
production?
Bueno.
Porque.
You know, when I always been a big fan of, I mean, even before all these changes that have happened now between Cuba and the United States, I always felt like I wasn't like an ambassador putting together these two cultures. I mean, I'm coming from there. I've been living in the United States for many, many years. And I used to dance with one of the most important companies in this country, American Ballet Theater. So in 2010, I went to Cuba with Ballet, American Ballet Theater. That was something like a dreams come true. And it put together, you know, I felt like it was a bridge. And why not? I think it's, you know, it's, I felt like Giselle, sorry, Giselle is one of Alicia's masterpieces. And I have done a many version of Giselle. And for me, it's one of the best right now.
Okay. Let's bring our listeners into this. And again, you can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org. And Robert joins us from Emeryville. Robert, you're on.
There you go now?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. What I would like to address this issue with, everybody's talking about going to ballet. They're not preparing young children and parents to prepare the families to even get involved with this. I'm a musician, and and quiet play anything but the music they have on radios today, which is not any at all. They listen to 60s stuff. So I'm preparing a movie that will address this issue, just like the old 1920s R gang comedies, except mine will be our kids of today, which at 3 years old, show them how to dance, sing, and use their natural talents if they can just keep their parents out of their way so they can use their natural talents and get rid of all the negatives. And you'll have a source of ballet dancers and singers and actors and stuff like that. I mean, it's a ridiculous world we're in.
Robert, let us know when you get this going. I'd like to see that, Robert,
and please come down and see us.
You're going to have some fans here, and thank you for letting us know about that. I want to get back to this question about Silicon Valley money. Here's a listener who writes on our website, Silicon Valley money goes to San Francisco institutions. The rich get richer. We have to drive 60 miles for Major League Baseball, opera, symphony, art museums, etc. Most comparable institutions in the South Bay were AA or less.
We do three things. We put great art on stage, and our standard is that art should be second to none anywhere in the world. So that's a really top standard. That's what we do, and that's what we expect. And I believe, I of course, I'm bragging. I'm very proud of our dancers. I'm not involved in the artistic side of the house, just let me be clear. But I think that you'll see that there are – we take no prisoners when it comes to the arts, the art side of the business. But in terms of living with great art every day in every community, I couldn't agree with you more. We do community engagement with the schools. We think that it's very important to be local when you're participating in art. This is a very, very blessed region in that there's talent in the East Bay, there's talent in San Francisco, down to Santa Cruz. We have a lot of creative people living here. How do we foster that ecology? How do we support it? And how do we share it? That's exciting to me.
How do you also inspire young people to really be enamored of the dance, to be not only enamored of it, but to want to participate, involve, and support the dance? And I mean specifically, of course, ballet. Jose?
You know, art, ballet, it's a form. It's something that you, it's part of life, man. You know, some people like sport, other people like arts. So ballet is one of, you know, one of these forms that you cannot deny it. I mean, it's part of the life, it's part of the what girls and boys and everybody likes.
Dance is life. Yes. Ballet yes. is orchestrated life. And what I must say about ballet, someone like who appreciates it very much, is, you know, watching it can be stunning. But aside from that, the training, you know, you guys, I'm talking about you now, are as well-trained as anybody out in the gridiron playing football, maybe better. Yeah. Physically, it's exhausting.
We're rehearsing every day. We start at 9:30 in the morning and until 5:30.
Yeah.
Everything.
Millicent.
Someone drew an analogy between ballet and programming, and this was someone actually from a technology company in San Jose. And they said, you know, dancers are like programmers because there's a passion inside. And with a team of people, a lot of discipline and a lot of hard work, you come up with a beautiful solution. And I'm not a programmer. I'm not a dancer. But that made sense to me. There's five basic positions in ballet, as you know. And you put those together and you see people. It's a system of being in a group. And it's definitely a team sport. I heard someone talk about the Warriors winning game, and they said, you see the flow. Well, you feel that. You know, you get goosebumps in a great, great, great performance. You feel the connection between the dancers. And people in Silicon Valley are responding to that. Plus, a lot of our young men and women who go through 10 years of training, they go on to do amazing things because they're so disciplined.
Would you hear from any of these naysayers who say, you know, you're trying to, once again, wed an art to geekiness or something along those lines?
I would say that art, like human nature and like technology, is always evolving. And you evolve or you die. And we're evolving every day. And anybody who has some ideas for us, we'd love to talk to you.
You're receptive to anything helping this evolutionary process.
You bet. That's one of the exciting things.
Let's bring more of our listeners in. And we go to Hillsborough. Mary, welcome. You're on.
Hi. My son actually trained at the Ballet San Jose for years. And we were there during the really messy turnover through the artistic directors and to the ABT. And, you know, we were not treated very well as families of the students there. It kind of seemed like we were just walking pocketbooks. And I'm wondering, you know, how you're going to address, you know, the turnover in the staff. There were so many unhappy people who left who worked there. And, you know, the feelings of the people whose children were there or trained there.
I think this is yours, Millicent.
Mary, that's a question that I think about a lot. I appreciate it. I was not there during that time, but I've heard a lot about it. One thing we have done structurally is reorganize the company. And I feel that the place that we have the most rebuilding to do is exactly what I called our people area. And so we do have a new director at our school. We talk a lot about how we treat every family. You know, if we could go back and somehow in time and somehow change those imperfect interactions, and there were. I'm not disagreeing with you. I would love to do that. But, of course, I don't have a time machine. And going forward, that kind of attention to our community, to our family, and our parents are a really important part of that, and our students are important. That's critical to us. We talk about it at the board level. We talk about it at the staff level. And for me, Mary, that's what gets me up in the morning, is making that work. So I appreciate your comment, and I hope you're getting better reports or can get better reports from the kids and families who are there now. And it's a very different experience, but that doesn't undo the fact that there were troubles.
Keep your eye on them, Mary, and report back to us, please.
Yes, please.
Thank you. By the the way, KQED Arts will feature a story about the making of Silicon Valley Ballet's production of Giselle next week on our airwaves and online. And you can also find more KQED Arts picks for the fall and their fall arts guide. We have a link. It's up on our website, kqed.org/forum, and we have more calls. We'll go to Menlo Park. Phyllis, you're on.
Oh, hi, yes. Two thoughts on the subject. First of all, I was in, luckily enough, Michael probably knows about this, that journalists were able to go to Cuba even in spite of the ban. And it was just a fabulous, that was about 5 years ago, a fabulous experience of the arts. They let the writers have taken over one of the huge mansions. It looks like the Pacific Union Club, and it's free for all writers to go hang out. That was wonderful. They had huge concerts in the main square, free concerts, beautiful music, and this is all under Naughty Castro, but it was just
naughty.
Wonderful.
That's the first time I've heard that adjective. Yeah.
Well, Americans, I didn't want to go too heavy on how bad we painted them, but it was wonderful. And then one other thought about, I wrote a book about the Santa Clara Valley several years ago, and I was worried about San Jose then that they were not developing a downtown. They tore down buildings for parking lots. And what's happened to the Montgomery Theater? I thought you should have developed that as a nice little theater. Is that still there?
Yes, it is.
Is it being used at all?
Yes, it is. Actually, the city of San Jose put a theater management program in place. It's called Team San Jose. They do a really first-class job with a number of theaters that are down there. So I think that has been a big improvement.
And thank you, Phyllis. We'll take more calls. A lot of calls coming in from the South Bay. Here's Maureen from San Jose. Maureen, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to mention a couple of things. One is the fact that the schools no longer teach art or music, and so children who are now grown-ups have never heard opera or symphony or heard about ballet, and so all you see at these venues are old people, gray heads. I myself I go to the opera, and it's very disappointing. It's fabulous down here. I've also gone to the ballet. I think it's fabulous. The other problem is San Franciscans don't believe in crossing into the 408 area code. That's verboten. And so they don't come down for anything here. I think the only thing they'll come down to is something that's at the arena because they can't get that.
No, wait a minute. You have checkpoints there now?
Do I have what?
Are there checkpoints there now?
Do you believe me? Do you come down to the wonderful things that are here?
I do come down occasionally, yeah, but not as much as I should or could. Yeah.
It was done here. It was absolutely out of this world, one of the best I've ever seen. And I used to have season tickets to San Francisco Opera also, but I'm 80, and so it's a little hard for me to drive at night now. But I think that's one of the main things, is that the kids don't know about it, and it's never played on the radio or television. You don't hear all, you know, the wonderful music. And who's ever heard of Giselle?
Well, a number of people have, judging by, and Maureen, thank you for that call. I'm looking at an email from Jana who says, I'm so excited about this. Giselle, I just bought tickets, so we'll be driving from Sacramento to San Jose.
Thank you.
And we'll be going to another caller here. And Christina, that's you. Hi, Christina.
Hi. Thank you so much for this topic, and I'm really happy you're talking about it. And to develop further on what the previous caller just said, I wanted to know if you've been, you also said that KQED's was going to be doing a special about Silicon Valley Ballet, but is the ballet community trying to get, like, for instance, great performances back on air? Because in the 80s, they really stirred up an audience for the renaissance of ballet. And that's how I became a fan. I moved to Washington at some point, and I felt really comfortable going to the ballet. I think a lot of people feel intimidated that they might not know how to behave or what to expect with something so beautiful. And the other point I was going to make is, are you located near public transportation? Because I live in San Francisco. I don't have a car. That's all.
Okay. Well, two questions there about the ballets appearing on TV, but also about access to public transit.
Yes, we're very close to the San Jose Diridon train station, and in fact, San Jose is developing that as a hub. It's a very short, it's a few blocks really from the theater. So I myself go back and forth on the train, and it's a fun experience. So I can offer that.
And she also wanted to know whether it was going to be on television. Are there going to be more ballet performances on television?
So, you know, that's a dream in Europe, where ballet companies and opera companies are funded by the national government. They are doing a lot of streaming. One thing that we're doing, which is super exciting, is with the influence of our young board members and our young supporters, is being more and more content producers. So the stories, the individual and personal stories, you know, that Jose and in fact his brother's dancing as well in this production, and it's their first time on stage. So that's a unique personal story that gives people a connection to what's happening, and that is, you know, that's afforded by social media, the internet. So we are definitely exploring the topic, and it would just, I mean, for me, it'd be a dream come true to be able to live stream a performance. So stay tuned. We're not quite there yet.
You got the marquee title, The Brothers Carreño.
Yeah, that's right.
Los Hermanos Carreños.
That's right.
Here's Sarah, who writes in an email, Stephen Colbert and had Misty Copeland dancing on Toad with Yo-Yo Ma. Big move toward popularizing. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but let me just read a few more emails here while we have a minute or two. I can't justify the commute, listener writes, to the city when San Jose has so much to offer in the areas of performing arts. While San Francisco has the traditional glamour of being an arts town, the quality and breadth of offerings in San Jose, the 10th largest city in America, is outstanding. And another listener writes, thank you so much for bringing exciting ballet to San Jose. Our city has been so boring for years, but lately I am hopeful that we might actually be like a big city with valuable art shows, ballet, symphonies, theater, etc., to take our kids to. I always wanted to introduce my kids to arts and culture, but it's hard to go to San Francisco for working families, so bring it on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good place for us to end. We look forward to seeing the Giselle Project, which runs at the Center for the Performing Arts in San Jose. Let me give you the dates again. On October 16th at 8 p.m., October 17th, 1:30 p.m. and 8 p.m., and October 18th at 1:30 p.m. And there will be an open rehearsal tomorrow at Silicon Valley Ballet from 4:30 to 6. Reservations are required. Thank you, Millicent Powers.
And thank you.
And thank you, Jose Manuel
thank you.
Coreño.
Gracias.
De nada. And gracias to our listeners. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. You're hearing music from Giselle as we go out. Forum is produced by Irene Gucci and Tina Larberg. Our engineer is Jim Bennett today. Our engagement producer, Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Interns Latoya Tools and Jeremy Siegel. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.